In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. This is Memorial Day weekend, and it is a weekend that we set aside to remember and to thank and to honor the memories of those members of the military who were killed while serving in times of active combat. And yes, we certainly honor the personal sacrifice, the personal bravery of these men and women. But we also take the time, and in a special way this weekend, we renew our commitment, and we also honor the common vision and the shared values that unite all of us, sort of the banner under which they fought. These values include, among other things, peace, equality, life and liberty, and all the forms of freedom which we believe are proper to the dignity of men and women and children. Freedom from fear, freedom from cruelty, freedom from tyranny and oppression, freedom to think, freedom to believe, freedom to simply be human. Each person in this world yearns for one basic thing. They yearn for what President Bill Clinton eloquently called the quiet miracle of a normal life. And so one of the ways that we honor the sacrifice of our military dead is that we believe in this country very deeply in the importance of reconstruction and recovery for those places that are devastated by war. If we ask our young people to risk their lives for the sake of freedom and peace, then it is our obligation as survivors of war to make sure that those sacrifices are not in vain, that they are long-lived. War brings tremendous devastation. If we liberate a foreign land, a foreign people from an oppressive regime, and we simply go home after the victory, then that victory will be short-lived. Nations that are ravaged by war are not capable of living life in any kind of normal way. There's too much damage, often too much that needs to be recovered and rebuilt. And if the damage caused by war is not reversed, then those who are newly liberated will be easy pickings for new tyrants who will step into the mess and who will establish new regimes of violence and oppression. We know this. The example that comes to mind for most folks is the Marshall Plan. This was the American plan to provide support to European countries who suffered tremendous devastation during World War II. It was a reconstruction plan on a grand scale, one that accelerated the recovery of Europe after the wide-scale damage it sustained during a global war. The members of the military are willing to give their lives for the sake of achieving and birthing peace where there is none. But we, in turn, must be willing to do the hard work that it takes to build lasting peace, not just temporary peace. Brothers and sisters, in these weeks after Pascha, the church places scripture in front of us, which allows us to explore more deeply the meaning of the resurrection. And the church reveals to us through Holy Scripture during these precious weeks what Pascha is really all about. At Pascha, we know that our God achieves a decisive and ultimate victory over his enemies. Through the life and death of Jesus Christ, the enemy of death has been vanquished. And to us as children of God is restored the possibility finally of true life. We no longer face an eternity of enslavement to those dark and devastating forces of the evil one. But here's the big idea that kind of comes to us today. Pascha is not just the victory of God over his enemies, those which enslave us. Pascha is also the start of a kind of divine Marshall Plan. It marks the beginning of reconstruction towards lasting peace. Pascha is the beginning of a new age in which our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now work hard in our midst to make it possible for us to live life as we were created to do so. The war against the evil one, the war which was brought to an end by the resurrection, is a war that has left this world full of scars and brokenness. You and I and every human being must live lives in a world that still suffers from deep and lasting damage, spiritual and physical damage caused by the tyranny and domination of the evil one. And just as earthly rulers know that it is crucial to rebuild after war, our Heavenly Father knows the very same thing. And so through His church, He pours forth resources to show us the way, to help us remember what normal life looks like, to bring healing, and ultimately to bring peace that lasts. We live in a world that in many ways still looks like a world ruled by darkness, not by God's divine light. We still act, oftentimes, like the old tyrant is still in power. We don't really know how to live life in the new normal of God's freedom. We have wounds to be healed. We have trauma that we have to recover from. We have tasted freedom at Pascha, but too often we don't know how to give up our past enslavements in favor of the new life in Christ, which we receive at baptism. This morning, in the figure of that Bethesda paralytic in John's Gospel, we have an image of you and me and of all who so often fit this description of the walking wounded. Those who are now free but don't really know how to adjust to the new life that's been given to us. The paralytic, we are told, is someone who suffers from his condition and has suffered from it for 38 years. He has been cluster bombed by disease and poverty for so long that he now thinks that this sort of life is normal. On the surface, he's someone who looks like he wants to be healed. He sits all day by the healing pools of Bethesda. He is in the right place, but he claims that it is never at the right time. There is always some excuse. So when the Lord walks up to the man and asks him whether he wants to be healed, the paralytic doesn't say yes. He doesn't say yes. He does not say, "Yes, Lord, it has been a long 38 years. You don't know how bad I want to get up and walk and work and once again enjoy the quiet miracle of a normal life." Instead, the man makes excuses. He's afraid, just afraid, to return to new life. He's not sure that he can handle it. Being healed is one thing, but in his heart he asks himself, "But am I ready to live life as a truly healed and whole person? How do I even do that? What would life like that look like?" There's a second figure given to us in Scripture this morning, and this is the figure of Tabitha. In the Acts of the Apostles, there's this brief interlude in the great story of the early church. And a short passage is given over to an event in Joppa, in which the Apostle Peter enters the house of an old seamstress, Tabitha, and brings her back to life. And if the Bethesda paralytic is an image of you and of me as we struggle to accept the life of freedom which Jesus Christ offers, Tabitha is an image of the opposite. Her life is a living example of the power of reconstruction. In her life, we have an image of that quiet miracle of a normal life, that thing we all long for and which faith in Jesus Christ can bring. Tabitha, we know, was someone who worked for the kingdom of God literally with her hands. She labored hard for the kingdom in the only way that she knew. She did it with needle and thread. She was not a preacher. She was not an evangelist. She is not listed among the female deacons who served the early church. She was neither rich nor powerful nor a gifted speaker for all we know. When she died, her brothers and sisters in the church, they gathered and they brought the clothing that she had made for them. That's how they celebrated her life. That's how they kept her memory. They did so by showing what her hands had made. And so when Peter enters the room and raises Tabitha from the dead, our shoulders are kind of given a good shake by the evangelist Luke, who's the author of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter raises Tabitha, of all people, little old Tabitha. Little old ordinary Tabitha. And by doing so, St. Luke tells us to take up and wake up and take notice. Ordinary people are not ordinary to God. as N.T. Wright says about this passage. Ordinary people are not ordinary to God. And these few verses about Tabitha, God himself affirms the dignity of being human. The church holds up and declares that there is value and goodness in regular, old, honest, good labor. Tabitha comes to us as someone who is able to enjoy God's divine majesty in every little moment and in every little thing that she does. Tabitha has already led a resurrected life. And that is why Peter resurrects her to life. The biological resurrection she is given by Peter is just a way of showing us that Tabitha already experienced true resurrection through her faith in Jesus Christ. And because of this faith, the whole world was restored for her while she lived. The whole world was opened up to her as a place of communion with God, a place of communion with her brothers and sisters, a communion with all of creation. Holy Scripture reminds us this morning, brothers and sisters, that Pascha is not a date on the calendar. It is not something which rolls around once a year and then disappears, and it is certainly not an event that happened once in the past and is now gone. Pascha, the church tells us, is a continuous and ongoing reality. The Lord's resurrection is not a talking point. The Lord's resurrection is policy. It is a program for rebuilding human life. It's a program for rebuilding all of creation. It is a Marshall Plan on the cosmic scale through which the lasting peace of the kingdom of God finally brings new life to this place, to all places, where too long the evil one practiced scorched earth and saturation bombing. The church, the place to which we are invited every moment of every day, is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It is given to us so that we might live our lives less like that Bethesda paralytic and a little bit more each day like Tabitha of Joppa. The life given to us through the church is part of the plan that helps us move away from fear and helps us move ever closer to true freedom. The grace and power of God which flows to all those who call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. This is grace and power which returns us to normal life. It shows us what normal life is supposed to look like. May the good Lord sustain us each day and sustain in us a yearning for the lasting peace which can only be achieved through faith in Jesus Christ. May he open our eyes to his glorious presence every moment of every day and every little thing that we do. And may he move us with his grace and power to see the world as Tabitha did. Christ is risen. Amen.